The reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, the birth of Jesus, chapter 2, verse 4 to 20. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom its favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, folks, three men died on Christmas Eve, and they were met at the pearly gates by St. Peter. St. Peter himself meets them at the pearly gates, and he says, "In honour of this holy season," says St. Peter, "you must each possess something that symbolises Christmas to get you into heaven." And the first man reaches around in his pockets, and he's feeling around for a bit, and pulls out a lighter. He flicks it on. And he holds it high and he says, "Oh, see, this is like the star that led the wise men to Jesus." And St. Peter goes, "That's good, I like that one." The second man reaches through his pockets and pulls out a set of car keys. He starts shaking them around and jingle, jingle, jingle. He said, "Well, these are like the bells of Christmas, the bells that rejoice the coming of Jesus." St. Peter goes, "Ah, beautiful, beautiful." The third man's standing there, and after a minute or so, he ponders and takes off the glasses and gives them to St. Peter, and he goes, "There you go." St. Peter goes, "These are glasses." He goes, "Oh, yeah, they're my wife's. Yeah, they're Carol's." Yeah, I bet you were waiting for that punchline, hey? That's one of my worst dad jokes for Christmas. I love it, but it's one of my worst. But they're Carol's, and, well, hopefully St. Peter let him in as well. If Jesus turned up here in our church today, what would he say and do? I wonder what he would say and do. Actually, I'd probably put a little bit more sermon prep in because I think he wrote the book, so I'd have to be really on point. And, oh my goodness, I think I'd probably be very, very stressed, you know. But maybe he would start and ask the question, "What's with the tree and the lights? Why so many songs about my birth? And why do you even talk about cattle lowing at my birth? What do you mean three kings? They weren't three kings. They were magi, and there weren't three of them. There were three gifts." Yeah. I think Jesus would ask some really serious questions. We often go on our whole story of Christmas based off carols that we've heard while wandering around a supermarket from our earlier days. And unfortunately, it doesn't always turn out accurately. But I was pondering, you know, if God was sending Jesus today to restart all of Christianity, would he do it well, and would it work? I mean, have you ever started something from scratch? And have you ever started a business from scratch? because it's not easy. There's the public perception that's important, and it has to help with the future of the business. Mistakes are costly, and most small businesses, their startups, these fail. They fail in the first couple of years. But don't think that failure is a bad thing, because there's some great famous failures out there. J.K. Rowling tried 12 times to get her books, the Harry Potter series, published. Yeah. Colonel Sanders. So over 1,009 times people said no to him about his 11 secret herbs and spices recipe. Yep, there's a fail. Oh, and he was like 65 or something when he did it too. Albert Einstein, well, you all know that wise guy, that guy who's really intelligent. He didn't speak until he was 4, and he didn't read until he was 7. Walt Disney, I love this one. Walt Disney, Disneyland, Disney movies, everything, was fired for lack of imagination and then turned down from 302 jobs. And Michael Jordan, the basketball player, when he was at high school, he got cut from the high school team for not being good enough. I reckon in hindsight, that coach would have gone, ooh, poor choice. But Jesus, his start into the world, his start had some setbacks, hey? He was born into a world that was oppressed by Rome. His parents were not married, and they were only 13, 14, maybe 15 years of age. They were not even married. His mum had a wild story about an angel coming to her and saying that she was going to fall pregnant by God. Dad then wanted to ditch mum. Well, you know, because Joseph, he actually wanted to leave Mary, but then an angel came, appeared to him as well. Then they travelled to a new town with none of their parents mentioned, so probably without support, even though they were going to the place of their heritage where everyone had to gather, and it doesn't actually mention any form of support. And I got to tell you, if my children were in the predicament that Mary and Joseph were in, I'd be with them, helping them give birth and helping them through the whole birthing process and trying to find a room for them and not putting up with a stable for them. Then the magi, or the sorcerers of other faiths, turn up. The shepherds, who are unclean physically and spiritually, according to the law, the rejected ones of Israel. They tended the sheep, but they were rejected. They couldn't even go into the temple. They were always classed as permanently unclean. They turned up. And then he was born in some garden shed. Well, it wasn't. It was a stable of some descript. It could have been a cave. And then they flee as refugees to Egypt. Yeah, they flee as refugees to Egypt because Herod has decided he will kill all the boys under 2 because he is jealous that another child could be born who could possibly be king. Well, what's your year been like? If you had a year to review and you're looking back over your year, would it be, you know, would you start it with those words of the Tale of Two Cities from Charles Dickens? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I mean, so how was your year? Is it full of triumphs or full of setbacks? Was it a bit of both? Unfortunately, our setbacks and our setting in life predominantly become our focus. And I don't think God could have... when you think about it, could God not have started this whole thing called Christianity a lot better than what he did? When you hear the story of Jesus, don't you think it could have been started a lot better? I mean, is this not the messiest start of a life? And yet, strangely, God uses it so powerfully. It's so messy, you couldn't predict how messy it was going to be. But maybe it gives us a deeper meaning that God gets it when everything else seems to fail. He can still make you shine. He can still bring regeneration in the times when you think, surely, nothing good can come of this. See, we all have setbacks. It's part of our story. It's hard to forget broken relationships, medical issues, mental challenges, emotional tsunamis, misinterpretation by others of your good intentions, financial disasters, bad choices that affect others, addictions, afflictions, and so much more. You know, in fact, they become actually like a bunny rug that shackles us, and we don't want to let it go. It's our Linus blanket. But every one of us in our context of life has setbacks which cause us to lose focus on our purpose and meaning in life. We ask the questions, why me? And for what purpose did this happen to me this year? This thing called life doesn't seem to play the way I want it to all the time. And maybe it's one big joke. Well, maybe if it's a big joke, well, what if it's just missing a punchline? So that it makes sense. See, a joke without a punchline just doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not saying that your life is a joke. Don't take that. But it needs a punchline. You know, when Mary looks at this whole story of Jesus and he grows up, I mean, you know, after their birth, as I said, Herod was so caught up in his own power, he killed all the boys two and under, and he tried to get to kill Jesus, but Mary and Joseph fled as refugees to Egypt. Then when they finally decide it's time to come home, you know, they lose Jesus. It says they lose him, and they've gone for a couple of days, and they turn around and go walking back to find him, and he's there in one of the temples. And he's listening and teaching. And the people are just astounded at this child and what he knows. His cousin, when they do get back, his cousin's running around in camel hair outfits. See, he's John the Baptist. And his cousin ends up being beheaded for a wicked decision. He gets baptized by John the Baptist and God's voice is heard. And everyone trembles. But they know that they've heard the voice of God. Then you know, he goes out and it says he starts to do his miracles. And at the beginning of John's Gospel, the first miracle he does is turning water into wine. But he also heals the sick. He raises the dead. He restores the broken in spirit, the rejected of society. He speaks with words of authority and power. And he speaks out against injustice. And then he brings more healing. He takes on the religious hierarchy who want to control who is in and who is out of society and heaven. Then he's betrayed. For Mary, seeing her son arrested and beaten, that still wouldn't have made sense. In fact, that really wouldn't have made sense. Hearing his final words, "It is finished," I suspect she paused, especially as the sky went black. But see, we're not here to celebrate a dead Jesus. We're here to celebrate the risen Jesus. Aha. Uh-huh. So actually, without Easter, and I know it's not Easter, but this Christmas story doesn't make sense without Easter. It can't. It's like a joke without a punchline. I know it's Christmas, but this story of Jesus will not make sense. It cannot make sense without the sequel, or the punchline, which is Easter. See, everything culminates towards Easter. It's in the death and resurrection that this baby goes from being just a man to being the divine. From somebody to being a fulfiller of hundreds of prophecies. From a rebel in the church to being a reconnector of God to mankind. See, if you were God, would you have brought Jesus into the world this way? Probably no. See, so often people tell me that God or Jesus could not understand their setbacks and context of life. Oh, yes, he could. And oh, yes, he does. He understands it fully. He wept over the loss of friends as they died. He celebrated new life. He celebrated healing and hope. He was challenged. Yeah, when people showed respect and other people didn't show respect. See, I beg to differ when people tell me that Jesus or God doesn't get it. I think God gets it all the time. He gets our lives all the time. But what are the chances really of Jesus coming into the world and fulfilling all the prophecies that are made of him in the scriptures? There's this professor called Professor Stoner in America. His maths and PhD students sat down with all the different kind of probabilities to try and work out what the probability of all of these prophecies in the Bible coming true that Jesus actually fulfilled. And just the major prophecies, okay? Just the major ones. You ready for it? It's 10 to the power of 21. And you might go, well, that's nice. I said, okay. Let's just give you an idea of what 10 to the power of 21 looks like. Take all the land masses in the world and cover them with 20-cent coins to a depth of 40 meters. Then select one coin. The American Scientific Association was dumbfounded and profoundly moved by this. I think that sometimes we go, oh, it's just this lesser known random Hebrew boy from a random Hebrew village, that the chances of it are just, well, it's close to infinite, isn't it? See, folks, Jesus isn't a joke, but punchlines do matter. As a joke without a punchline makes no sense, so the birth of Jesus actually makes no sense. It doesn't. If all I tell you about Christianity is the setting and the setbacks, then you think it sounds shallow and meaningless, and this birth of this child is really just some random child that does nothing. But if all I tell you about is the punchline, with no setting and context, then it sounds like nonsense, and again, it has no logical reasoning. So if all I do is give you the Easter story without the bit before, the life and works of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, then it makes no logical sense. What matters is that your setting, with all of its triumphs and setbacks, makes sense, and that the only way that happens is with the addition of the punchline. See, that punchline is Jesus. That punchline is Jesus Christ and his fulfillment of our lives. You'll hear lots of things about God, but don't mistake what you hear about God for things about society or man's view, because Jesus came and kicked a lot of those views apart as well. If you hear denominations do matter, they don't. Denominations don't matter in God's kingdom. If you hear that socioeconomics matter, they don't. Society's values and pressures, they don't matter. God is not the people. God is God, he's not the people. And all people are wrestling with brokenness. And you know, so sometimes they get it wrong in how they portray a Christian faith. It just happens. So this Christmas, may you find the punchline for your life in a present that came as a child. Not as a box under the tree, but a present that came as a child. And may that punchline give you that aha moment when all of this thing called life makes more sense than it ever has before. Have a blessed day. Amen.